And welcome back to the Occupied Nation show on OBR.FM, radio for the 99% by the 99%. I've got Sean McKeown on the phone tonight with me, and he is an activist with OWS in New York City. And welcome to the show, Sean.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Right on. I'm glad to have you, actually. Very excited about some things that are going on, or some planning, I guess, that is, or some discussions that are going on, I should say, actually, that are going on in New York City over the past couple of weeks about the possibility of reoccupying near Wall Street, right?
Yes. So we do want to be somewhat careful with how we're putting it.
Yes.
We know that building a physical encampment is just going to get the crap kicked out of us again, and no one really wants that. So we're trying to rebuild a presence. Mm-hmm. Rather than necessarily trying to reoccupy with a full encampment.
Right. And I'm glad you said that as well, because online I've been seeing on a lot of other forums people, you know, wishing for tents as far as the eyes can see and whatnot. I don't think that that's quite the way that the whole thing should go down, because, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of violence that happened on the part of the police last time around, I guess I should say. And you're absolutely right. So I guess the big question is, what differences can or what would people want to expect if everything goes correctly or the way that it's wished at this moment?
Well, when we tried to shape the call ourselves, the call we were saying was not bring a tent, but bring a sign.
Okay.
I guess you could say it's the less aggressively virulent form of Occupy, because, you know, if you have too infectious of a disease, you kill the host, and thus the disease cannot continue.
Right.
Well, with a lower virulence threshold, we'll be able to actually be present without forcing the response that none of us want to face. I mean, me and a lot of my other comrades here at Occupy, we were here for the six-month anniversary when on March 17th last year, the call to some apparently was bring tents, and a lot of us in the park didn't know that, and a hardcore group of people tried to hold an encampment and raise structures, and suddenly at 11 o'clock at night, you know, the police came in by the hundreds and started arresting people. We had something like 80 people arrested that night. Several occupiers hospitalized, broken bones. Everyone got scattered. I mean,
right.
That was the night when the first window was broken in New York City. And, you know, we often get that criticism, oh, we're just anarchists that break windows. And the first window was broken by the head of an anarchist being thrown into it by the NYPD.
Wow.
None of us want to have our bodies broken for no reason and no appreciable gain.
Right.
But we consider a very large gain available if we retake the space as we used to use it, just not necessarily sleeping there.
Right.
So looking for a rhythmic cycle to the day, which is during the day when people are prone to visit anyway. You know, we're trying to draw in visitors and our extended network of activists who didn't necessarily sleep there, didn't necessarily even attend working group meetings, but came to be in that space by the thousands.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get those thousands of people back and grow Occupy visibly again by being there all of the time. We want to have a place, a home, where Occupy lives and people know to come to us there.
Right.
But so that sleeping in the park will actually undermine that effort. So we're trying to take the fact that we do have some people who will need to sleep
mm-hmm.
in that space, and organizing it so that they are still actively protesting the same thing they want to be protesting by sleeping out in public,
mm-hmm.
just not doing it there. We're talking about breaking people down into larger cells that are harder to respond to and are able to be much more mobile than a camp would be.
Mm-hmm.
We're figuring the upper size threshold on that is about 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
And with that many people, and based on the laws we've carefully researched and all of our experience doing this in the past year, we figure we can make some very highly mobile groups that will not be responded to negatively by the police, or if a negative response is incoming, instead of, you know, being stuck defending their ground, they can simply disappear. We don't want long and intractable interactions with the police. We don't want to get our friends beaten up for no reason.
Right.
So we're designing it so that if anything seems like it's going to happen, we can just walk away. We go civilian.
Right. Right, right. And absolutely, I couldn't agree with the things that you had to say more. In fact, I remember watching on live stream that first window being broken. That was quite the sight as the police threw that guy into the window head first. And
yeah, and he was a medic, so he right. was really just there in a supporting role trying to keep people from being hurt. And the police turned around and hurt him for literally no reason.
Right. Right, right. I believe, didn't some members of the press actually, or the independent press get hurt that night too, if I'm not mistaken?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what
I know for a fact that that exact shot was on Keith Olbermann's coverage the next day.
Right, right, right. I don't think I saw it on Keith Olbermann's, but nonetheless, yeah, I do remember watching that live. That was one of those endless nights of watching the live stream every night between OWS and Oakland. Know everything that was happening down there. I think now last week we talked about reoccupying too, and I think that maybe we all got a little off track with regard to, you know, the idea of things happening organically. And what I wanted to actually bring up very, very carefully is that I guess there are meetings happening right now as far as planning things to be able to plan them in a more successful ways using the wisdom that we've gained at this point. Now, are those happening weekly at this point?
They've actually come up on a somewhat ad hoc basis. So a group of us here organized around seeing that initial call that went out and realizing that that initial call wasn't coming from New York City, but it was coming to New York City. Mm-hmm. We had an initial meeting saying, you know, do we want to help out, or is this something that we don't think is going to succeed because it's not coming from here?
Right.
There's this notorious problem where a Facebook post does not actually correlate to numbers in the streets. So you can see a Facebook page, and the page says it has 700 going and 500 maybe going, mm-hmm. and you turn around, and the day it happens, five people show up. There isn't necessarily a high correlation between numbers on a page and actual physical attendance.
Right.
So we tried to determine whether people were actually coming, and we did figure out that, you know, it does sound as if some people are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to ask ourselves, well, is this something we want to support? Do we consider this a good idea? And everyone very strongly missed there being an active occupation, like a whole group, because at this point, while we do have a lot of different projects working on things, we don't have a lot of people working together anymore. We've all fragmented off into smaller and smaller clusters, and we felt it would be very, very useful for us to rebuild that central core we're missing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all used to hang out and be friends. Whatever happened to that? That was mostly the approach people took and said, we want to rebuild that together.
Right, right, right.
We started organizing around rebuilding that, figuring, you know, we're very happy to support anyone who comes. We, in fact, would be grateful for any support that shows up. But we have a very deep pool, potentially, here in New York City. If you remember the cleaning night when we were facing potential eviction because of the threat that we were being unsanitary, 2,000 people showed up at 6 o'clock in the morning to resist the eviction. Right. So New York City, if New York City were to support an encampment or any effort like this, would presumably drown out any external numbers, because there are 7.5 million people living in New York City, 8.5 million people, some absurdly large number of millions of people live in this city. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this city supporting our effort would be much more tangible because, frankly, the supply line is shorter. People hop on a subway, they don't have to hop on a plane.
Right, right, right. Well, that brings up another question, actually. Now, last week in the discussions on this show, one thing was mentioned, but it brings up a second question as well, but it's communication within the community about the idea of occupying. And one thing that was brought up last week was communication with regard to setting up something with the police or having some pre-communication with the police, which I don't know how that can possibly happen, but it might be I don't know. I don't know how that can happen. But also, I'd seen something in the news group, or not in the news groups, but in the Facebook pages, where there was a question about neighborhood groups and organizations and kind of contacting them to, I guess, do things within, I guess, some sort of a reason it's not going to make them work against us. And I think that that's maybe an important thing. But would you like to make a comment about that?
Sure. So the comment you're most likely referencing was noting that in all of these planning efforts, the group who was centrally planning around this didn't attend the most recent Community Board 1 meeting. Community Board 1 is the community board for the neighborhood that includes the park. Mm-hmm. And we very simply were too busy trying to keep things from lighting on fire because we're working with a very small group of people. You know, we have had 15, 20 people at any one time working on this, and the cast always changes, so we're having new people coming in and other people dropping off to focus on other things. You know, a fair number of people who are helping organize this have said, we're very happy to help organize this, but we're going to Bradley Manning's trial. I mean, we wish you the best of luck. We'll happily aim for your success, but this day was important long before you decided to do anything.
Yes.
So we didn't necessarily make it to the community board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have existing prior interactions with the community board back from the time of the encampment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, based on what we're shooting for, I don't anticipate much of a predicament with the community board.
Right.
So the community board's main issues came down to Brookfield Properties changing the rules of how that park was used without going through the community board, which is against their charter for that space. But, you know,
right.
Who cares? A
right.
judge upheld it.
Right.
Once a judge upheld it, it's legal precedent, whether you like it or not. And the other problems they didn't like were sanitation and noise.
Right.
So we're not planning on living there. The park is actually cleaned every day by Brookfield Properties, and we don't anticipate that changing just because we're there.
Okay.
As for the noise problem, we haven't actively engaged to seek out a large, noisy crew of drummers.
Mm-hmm.
They may show up of their own accord. They may not show up of their own accord, but we're planning on vacating the space at night. And most of the problems that were had with the drummers was they weren't stopping at night. So the drumming would go on past midnight, and anything past 10 o'clock was leading to noise complaints from the community.
Right.
Effectively, we're planning to be out of there and moving to sleep cells by that time at night. So we are actively planning for no friction between us and the community.
Well, that's good. That's good. That means that the people that are trying to get their kids to sleep and whatnot, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, aren't going to, you know, be waking up to screaming kids because, you know, because of this. So, yeah, that's awesome that there's an effort not to affect the community and, you know, some of the people that might, even join us in our protests against the injustices of the world, instead of alienating those people or making them, you know, in a argumentative type of a situation. Now, what would you like to speak towards any interaction with the police and New York Police Department? I mean, is there an effort or a thought of an effort of doing that, or is that something that you don't believe would be a positive?
Well, the first thing we need to point out is that New York is a rough room.
Yes.
As far as the NYPD goes, the only Occupy I've seen that really has just clearly had a worse time of it than us is Occupy Oakland, who has the roughest room in the country.
Right.
They have an aggressively militarized police force that clearly just does not give a fuck.
Right.
We have a police force that seems as if it is actively seeking to undermine our liberties because that's their political agenda as driven down from the top. Mayor Bloomberg does not want us there.
Right.
Mayor Bloomberg makes a personal killing by owning Bloomberg machines that all of the market works on. So he's kind of invested in our, you know, we don't like the banks plan failing. He's had a very deep influence in getting the police to act when otherwise they wouldn't.
Right.
And thus, you know, any attempts to engage with the police, will be used against you in a court of law.
Right.
And B, might just get your skull cracked.
Yes, that's kind of what I saw too. And when that was discussed on last week's show, I was a little like, "Whoa, okay, not that doesn't fit in with what I saw." But you know, who knows? I mean, I'm not in New York City in the planning of this, so you know, I was just taking it as you know as it comes, as the information was coming in. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, Bloomberg refers to you know the police force as his personal army anyway, which. You know, it seems to go against the taxpayers' will, but nonetheless. Now, I had a couple of other questions. Now, is this is the plan for this to go all through the summer, or is it kind of, you know, the people, whatever the people end up doing, and it's a matter of trying to facilitate continuing the conversation, or what is the game plan as far as length or anything with that?
Well, the initial planning that we've made so far. Concretely, mm-hmm. is just Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Okay.
But we're hoping, effectively, by inviting everyone back and showing them this way that we could do this, this totally works,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, Monday they'll come back, Tuesday they'll come back, and it'll just keep happening.
Right, right.
We all share the value of that space provides us. We all know that we need a public forum for this kind of speech. Mm-hmm. And without it, you know, these ideas happen to be lost. We're not able to effectively communicate them. New information doesn't travel because new people aren't coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And we become distant and hard to reach because, frankly, the park was the best outreach tool we ever had. People literally came to us.
Right, right, right.
So we've got an active plan for through this weekend, and we're hoping through this weekend we build up more involvement, more buy-in,
mm-hmm.
and it will turn into a repeating affair.
That sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. So this
everyone who's committed to do it has committed to do it as indefinitely as we can.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know that the problem exists, that we really want to be there with a whole lot of our friends. We
yes.
want it to be a full park.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's just 20 people sitting in the park, those 20 people will tend to think that it's not worth having come out for.
Right, right.
So now, we're trying to build it up to an appropriate size and figuring once it hits that size, it will become, you know, commonly accepted that this is just the new normal.
Okay. Now, this is happening at Zuccotti, then, during the day?
Yes, we're taking this at Liberty Plaza during the day, and as far as where we're sleeping, we haven't said that.
Right, right. And that makes complete sense. I mean, I would call that diversity of tactics, or you know, whatever you want to call it. But
that one's more of a security culture issue. We don't want
right.
the police to be able to know where we're going.
Right.
But we also don't want to tell people what they should be doing. You know, we respect everyone's autonomy,
mm-hmm.
so the plan we have for that specifically is, in the park,
mm-hmm.
everyone's going to sleep overnight somewhere, will come together in a group, and that group will make a decision of where they're going.
That makes
so
sense.
So the target list will not be accessible to anyone, not even ourselves, beforehand,
right?
Which will make it effectively impossible for the police to plan around our expected activities.
Mm-hmm.
And also makes it so that the group is making its own decision instead of being told what to do. Because no one who's sleeping out overnight likes some committee telling them what they should be doing.
Right.
They want to make the decision themselves.
Right. Right. I couldn't agree with that more. And that's one of the big things that I guess over the past week or so I've been thinking about is one of the big things about Occupy, you know, and you hit the nail on the head there, is, well, that I remember from here in Boston, at least. I hadn't been able to spend much time down in New York at OWS, but one of the things I remember is that, you know, having no leaders meant that, you know, people kind of voted with their feet when it came down to it, as a matter of coming down with consensus during the event. And that's pretty important. Now, is there a scheduled GA that's going to be happening during these 3 days?
We're having not necessarily a general assembly. We're currently calling it a people's assembly.
Okay.
Which, it's the same fundamental concept as what the GA was at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
rather than what the GA became over time.
Thank goodness.
So this is not seeking to make decisions. We have no funds to disperse. We have no resources to fight over. We're going back to the very first days of the park and how the General Assembly used to be, just as a way to bring everyone together.
Okay, so
and that's what we're aiming for.
So most people will be familiar with the structure, the signals, point of process, etc., right?
Yes.
Okay.
And the hand symbols are still true. I don't know how many of them we'll be using, as several of them only really apply to formal consensus.
Right.
And formal consensus is really hard to do with a group of, 1,000 people. So we may not be seeking to make decisions initially using a formal consensus model. Mm-hmm. I would be shocked if point of process was thrown on anyone.
Well, exactly. Especially if there are a lot of new folks that that hadn't been involved before. I mean, it's going to be a matter of kind of acclimating to that process and, seeing where that goes. Now, as far as resources, what have there been any... Well, I want to discuss several things. I mean, obviously, there is the money issue, but also as far as resources, supplies and things like that. How has that been dealt with at all yet, or it's spoken about?
Well, the main advantage of when we're doing it is mm-hmm. it's going to be a 90-degree day.
Yes.
The only supply people really need is going to be water.
Okay.
So a lot of the predicaments we ran into during the encampment were cold weather, were rain, and this led to other supply issues.
Okay.
So, the weather is on our side, at least through the summer.
Yes.
A winter encampment is a terrible, terrible thing that requires many, many resources. A summer encampment, you probably want even fewer clothes than you have. You don't need a deep pool of winter clothes that need to be showing up because it was still fall when you left for New York and you came from somewhere
right. Nice.
They didn't have snow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, effectively, we're trying to keep mobile. People shouldn't have a whole lot of supplies. Like, if you're carrying the world on your back,
mm-hmm.
this is, a deeper problem to begin with. And some people do have their world on their back, and we're trying to accommodate for that. But largely, we expect, people to not need too much in the way of supplies and thus not bring too much in the way of supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some talk about trying to get a basic element of a kitchen scrapped up together. There is already talk about people combining their efforts in the meantime to put together the beginnings of a comfort station.
Mm-hmm.
There's even been talk about, the OWS library springing into existence from completely nowhere.
Because
they'll have people with piles and piles of books.
That was, I don't know if you can read minds or what, but that was going to be the very next question I was going to ask about is a library. After seeing the video over and over and over, the destruction of all of those books, and I believe that they won the court case on that too, didn't they?
Yes, just within the past few months.
Right.
And this is a several $100,000 victory.
Yes.
But Bloomberg simply doesn't care. I mean, the NYPD, as they're designed, is losing, hundreds of millions of dollars of court cases like this every year. And they have a black budget as far as losing them is concerned. It doesn't come out of anything that they have to do. It just comes out of the taxpayers' money.
Right.
So, we have won court cases, but the powers that be don't care. The taxpayer should, but, the power is so entrenched. This is Bloomberg's, the end of his 12th year in office. I mean, there is no resistance politically to his agenda.
I was going to say that, too. He's coming up for election really soon, isn't he? Is there a term limit in New York?
There's a two-term limit, which he changed the law on at a very expensive price in order to get a third term.
Mm-hmm.
And after he obtained the third term, the law reverted back to its prior form. So okay. He is a third-term mayor with a two-term limit.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot seek re-election. So we are actually, perfectly poised this summer to have a severe public impact and affect the public dialogue here in New York City. Because at the end of September is the mayoral primaries, and then the start of November is the mayoral election.
It's
excellent time to apply pressure and speak truth to power.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, do you personally, because, obviously we can't speak for the larger group because they're not even assembled yet, but do you personally think that you would like to see Occupy be involved with that process, be it through protest or, various other means, to affect that election in some sort of way?
In fact, I already know of two occupiers who are running for city council seats.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Do you care to mention their names? Because that's important.
One of them is running for a seat in Brooklyn. His name is Jelani.
Mm-hmm.
He's running through our Bum Rush the Vote initiative.
Okay.
And the other one was just recently declared. It's Jette Kurland. I'm not sure which seat she's running for because I'm not sure where she lives, but it was most recently announced that Jette, who used to be a part of our OWS legal collective and often spoke on various news shows as, you know, a knowledgeable individual about OWS's legal practices and one of the legal team who is suing and seeking damages on our behalf, Jette is also running for a seat on the city council.
That is some of the best news I think I've heard in a long time, because my personal thought has always been that, you know, one of the ways that we as a larger group nationwide, if we could, well, not even coordinate it, but if we could all work towards, you know, getting people that are either from Occupy or involved in Occupy in some kind of way, or Occupy friendly, involved with local politics on a low level in order to get that process started. I believe that's a very good direction for us all to go, and it'll ultimately, you know, help us as far as being able to, well, to have our First Amendment rights, at least. So, next question is, now, it's kind of on the resource thing, do you foresee any efforts as far as fundraising again? Because you mentioned earlier about money and after it being gone at a certain point. And I believe that OWS, if I remember from being up here at Occupy Boston, OWS did help a lot of Occupies as far as their endeavors. Is there, do you think that there's going to be a fundraising effort to be seen?
So that's kind of outside of our ability to control or predict.
Okay.
Just going back for a brief moment to the resources question, an important thing that we need to note about the resources is Occupy also used to have a several thousand dollar bail fund. We set originally $100,000 of all of the money we received aside for bail.
Right.
And by my understanding, you know, I'm not on the current finance team. I, you know, haven't talked with anyone about finances in at least 6 months. But as of last September 17th weekend, our bail fund was exhausted.
Ooh.
And I don't know. I mean, I have no reason to know it is still exhausted. I have no reason to know it is not still exhausted. But that's also kind of why we're designing this to be a low-risk protest
exactly.
initially, because we don't necessarily have the ability to get people out of jail.
Right.
We should try and not put anyone in there.
Well,
but
yes.
as far as, you know, new resources becoming available to us, that effectively emerged as an emergent property of Occupy, taking back the public consciousness and, you know, becoming something that was talked about. And, you know, Occupy reappearing in Liberty Plaza every day might very quickly, you know, recapture the public consciousness and lead to donations again being made available. The predicament we ran into originally was those donations started showing up long before we were capable of handling them in any responsible fashion. As far as handling them goes, you know, we now have a fair amount of experience in dealing with the resources. And frankly, the best expenditures of resources we ever made was giving them to other occupations. So, you know, to the extent that there is an occupation in Liberty Plaza, resources were more broadly available to all of the occupations, either donated to us and distributed more widely to fund actions and otherwise assist in other occupation efforts, because there was the central thing that news reporters could understand because it was right there and you could walk down to it. Because we were there, every occupation everywhere received more support.
Yes.
So this isn't necessarily anything to do with the money, but we do have to anticipate that the donation behaviors of people who would like to support us may, you know, spontaneously decide that we are worth supporting again. As far as any tangible support, I'd be just perfectly happy if, as a result of live streamers hanging out at the sleep camps, pizzas happened to arrive at the sleep camps. If that were the only thing that happened, the magic of dial-a-pizza occurring, thanks to live streaming this event, if that's all the response that we received, I'd be perfectly happy and content with that, because, frankly, if you have a lot of resources, that becomes what you fight over.
Yes, it does. It does. It does, in fact. I have another question. Now, it goes into support. Now, I have it's a twofold thing. Number one, is there obvious union support at this point? Number two, that leads into the second part, which is, are there any marches that are planned for these next days? Because the reason I ask that is because the unions and other civic organizations or community organizations were very helpful in adding numbers to some of the larger marches that we had both here in Boston and, as I saw, you know, across the country, including OWS.
Well, we've tried getting the Labor Outreach Committee involved and thus reaching out to all of the unions.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the obvious planning that we have successfully done, we haven't heard a concrete response from any specific union. Unions, due to their nature, you know, they're democratic organizations that have a slow motion to them. You know, if you want to get a union on board for something, tell them 2 months in advance. Since they're happening so quickly, I mean, effectively, the planning for this only really started a couple weeks ago here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
There has been, you know, longer planning for the past several months that was done largely online and largely not in New York.
Right.
And because it wasn't here, it wasn't using our resources and our allies, that effort also hasn't reached out to the unions, even though it had a further lead time on the June 1st date.
Right.
But we have spread the information. There are individual union members who I believe will be attending because they just showed up to occupy things, regardless of whether they were, you know, representing union membership or were a union member. They were Occupy activists who just showed up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're going to see any more formally organized union response.
Mm-hmm.
I would be surprised if a more formal unionized response showed up initially. If you remember back to the first days of the encampment,
right,
there were a couple of the same people that I'm referring to there on day one of the occupation.
Right.
But it took a couple weeks for the unions as a whole to see this is something worth supporting and then support it in numbers. So the first real bonus that we got from union membership showing up in force was on the 1 month anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, I think it would take a bit of time for us to really prove ourselves to the unions that we have the numbers behind this and that the strength and support of the movement is here.
Right.
Then perhaps we'll see very large union appearances at marches and such. We do have a direct action planned for Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But again, since we have a fairly small, you know, fraction of the community-wise percentage of the people working on this, we have effectively set it up so that instead of dictating what we're doing, we are going to have a planning meeting on Sunday around 2 o'clock in the afternoon in which everyone who's going to participate in the direct action will come together and help decide what it is.
Okay, that sounds awesome. And
we're trying to do this right, and that includes not over-planning to tell people what to do when people should make their own decisions. So we're inviting people into a weekly march on Monday morning and trying to get that into a repeating thing because, I mean, speaking truth to power and resisting the financial system is a good thing to do. But it's not something that we've over-planned for. There is an event page up for the Monday morning march. It is very sparse on information because we don't anticipate the planning to happen until Sunday. Fortunately, that also means that we can expect the NYPD to not have an immediate response because they won't have found out what's happening weeks in advance.
Okay.
So there are upsides and there are downsides.
Right. And referring to the, you know, the thing with the unions, I think we saw the same thing here in Boston with regard to that, because it wasn't until, it was a few weeks in until the unions really came about, or came in, and we had huge marches with, you know, what, tens of thousands of people up here. And that's where October 11th up here, I'm sure you'd heard about that, when, you know, the Veterans for Peace were sort of roughed up after we took the second part of the Rose Kennedy Park up here in Boston. But it was, you know, there was a lot of union support at that point through, you know, IBEW, SEIU. And I personally, if this all comes off okay, I'm looking very, very forward to working with the unions and community groups again. I think that's just, it's just good. Anything that you want to, I mean, with people coming from out of town and from, you know, other places in the country, anything that you want to, I guess, get out to them as a message, as far as, you know, what to expect, what they should, you know, what they should look forward to, anything that you want to, you know, say directly to them?
Sure. So, you know, a lot of the planning has focused on nitty-gritty details, and there's even been a web page which for the past, you know, 2 days since it launched as its own independent thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a little bit of a troll problem. It was a bit of a rough room there for a while.
Right.
We don't want people to get bogged down in negativity. So mostly we're asking, you know, show up and bring your enthusiasm. Originally, this was envisioned as a transformative space, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Come together and envision the world you want to live in together. And we're trying to recapture that positivity more than anything else. If we just come together and recapture that positivity and rededicate ourselves to the vision that another world is possible,
mm-hmm.
we will have done enough.
There you go.
So come, bring your protest signs, bring your righteous anger, but most importantly, bring your visions of a new world and bring your joy. That's what will sustain us more than anything else.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Any involvement of different working groups that were already previously existing within OWS?
Working groups are a bit of a tricky issue here.
Okay.
Effectively, since the New York City General Assembly stopped regularly meeting,
right.
there was a standing rule that said you needed to have that group's, you know, permission to be a working group.
Okay.
So at least for the past year, whether you're a working group or not, or whatever you want to consider yourselves, you're effectively an affinity group.
Okay.
You're deciding you exist. There is no central body to authorize your existence. And there are a lot of people at Occupy who say there never needed to be, that that was just an offshoot of the fight for resources and an unintended consequence of the initial decision made a couple weeks in
mm-hmm.
that working groups would receive access to resources without needing group consensus.
Right, right. I remember that vote up here.
The atomic notion of what is an affinity group versus what is a working group, you know, we don't necessarily need to get trapped on the label, but there are existing groups, and we've found them quietly fragmenting without a centralized group. So because this has been so hard on us, it's been a long slog, there is no central meaning, there is no joy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We are finding, like it or not, even the most dedicated activists are becoming dejected in the face of ever smaller attendance and no visible progress working towards their goals.
Well,
so we're hoping, effectively, to help restart a lot of the working groups that used to exist.
Okay.
But as far as the number of groups that do exist still, it's mm-hmm. a pretty low number, actually. There are a couple groups that I could point to that are still rocking it.
Right.
But in the meantime, most of the rest of us, on the things we were working on, we've lost our way.
I gotta agree with that on the at least from my viewpoint from up here in Boston as well. I mean this radio station is actually a working group, and that's the way it was set up to begin with. But through this, got almost 2 years now. I mean a couple months. There's been a lot of burnout, in phases where you know people have gotten tired and we haven't met as much. And then, you know, we have something that, is coming up, you know, some events or whatnot, and I guess we get together in order to do more with that. But I was just curious about that with the amount of people that, I mean, you personally, because, I mean, you've obviously been involved with this for quite some time now. Any words of advice for people across the country? Because other Occupies obviously follow the example of OWS. Any advice for those groups out there that are struggling as far as you know the activist burnout and how to deal with the want at this point for things to come back together as far as a reoccupying kind of a situation?
I would say that the struggle has been worth it, and rededicate yourselves.
Right.
Effectively, we have become disheartened because, you know, things have been very difficult. People mm-hmm. have had unreasonable expectations of what Occupy should have done.
Right.
I've heard a lot of voices saying, how come Occupy didn't get anyone elected in 2012? Occupy must be a failure because Occupy didn't get a single person elected to Congress in the 2012 election.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of these criticisms are not based on reality. If you remember when Occupy started, it was September 17th, 2011.
Yep.
And that date by itself is already too late for a congressional run. Anyone running for Congress knows they're running for Congress more than a year before the election.
Right.
And thus, we were never going to be able to seat candidates in the 2012 election. We never tried. Most of us didn't even want to.
Honestly.
So a lot of the metrics people are using for whether we've succeeded or not are just false metrics. They're, you know, people who want to say Occupy has failed because we were never playing the game they expected. They didn't understand what we're trying to do.
Right.
What we're actually trying to do is affect the conversation. And if you do look at the 2012 election, how did Elizabeth Warren get elected? I mean, would she have ever gotten to run as a candidate? Would she have ever won a primary even, if not for Occupy? I mean, if you want to say she's not an occupier, yes, she never showed up in the camps, but she's got a lot of the same opinions a lot of us do, and she's a firebrand on the side of, you know, justice against the banks.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yes, absolutely. We didn't run a candidate, but, you know, if you want to say, you know, we have an occupier in the Senate, it's not exactly true, but it's kind of true.
If you want
to put it even better, you could say we have an Occupy Pope now.
Okay.
If you've been following the tweets from at Pontifex, you know, this is a Pope who's now speaking truth to power. He's saying, you know, maybe these wars are a good idea. Maybe this starvation is a bad idea. Maybe some of the things you believe to be true are totally not true.
Right.
So I don't know what happened in that little room before they burned the paper and the smoke went up, but whatever happened in that room worked in our favor, because we have some very highly visible people saying a lot of the same things we've been saying. So the ideas we've been building and all the work we've put in has been making social change. It just hasn't been doing it in a direct and obviously visible fashion, because we haven't been running for political seats that we were never going to win, because Occupy existed too close to the election for it even to be possible.
Exactly, exactly. The other thing I think that people have to consider is that it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And making unrealistic expectations is only going to set somebody up for failure. To use an example, the civil rights movement, I mean, it's still going on. I mean, many people, I guess in their mind, when they think about it, I guess the general consensus would happen to be that, you know, it ended in 1968 with the assassination of Martin Luther King, and it didn't. It didn't ever end, because there are still inequalities in our country that people are fighting for. And just, you know, a few days ago, you know, when we're looking at the situation with the Trayvon Martin case, and the changes that are going on there with, I believe it's the cell phone, the texts that were released. I think that we have to look at some of these other movements and leaders of other movements that came before us as an example, and you know, calm down and settle in for the long haul in order to have any real lasting sustainable change. And that's the key. That's the key, I think.
So if anything, this is a second wind. Yeah. And hopefully it's just the first of many.
Yes.
Because this is going to be a long haul. We're trying to make a sea change in how people think about the world. And this doesn't happen quickly. It takes determination, takes effort, and it takes a continuing resolve on the part of everyone doing so.
Right.
So it's been a hard time, and we're hoping, you know, maybe by rekindling efforts here, other people will take heart and be able to rekindle their efforts wherever they are. Because this really is a nationwide thing. Occupy Wall Street here in New York, we have the peculiar problem of we're the Occupy that has a Wall Street. And there are some of us here who feel we've let Occupy down because, you know, for the past year, we haven't really been able to do that much around Wall Street. And like it or not, the success of Occupy Everywhere is kind of judged on whether the media sees anyone in this park.
I think that that's true. Plus, you have the ability to reach, what is it, a million or so people a day by just being there, I believe. And, yeah, definitely. You know, I just to let you know, I look at OWS as an inspiration. I always have, because you folks obviously had a much rougher time than we did here in Boston. And I think that, you know, for occupiers around the country, the reason that they look to OWS as an example is because of the all of the right things that were done there. And I think that in this, I hope that we are just able to build upon the successes that were previously there and keep on going, like you said, as a second wind. Anything else that you want to get out to the people? Any parting, you know, any other messages that you wanted to get out?
Just keep standing up. Keep standing truth to power.
All right.
Keep speaking truth to power. I mean, raise your voice. Don't be silent. A lot of the problems we have is just because good people say nothing.
Right, right, right. I couldn't agree with you more. Well, if people do want to be supportive in any kind of a way, should they get a hold of you folks on Facebook? On what would be a way for folks that are at home in, say, Topeka to show support for what OWS is doing this weekend?
So we've set up a couple centralized resources, and there are some that are long-standing existing resources.
Okay.
So as far as the long-standing existing resources, nycga.net is New York City General Assembly's website. There's a lot of information there. It's not the most active resource. It used to be much more active earlier in its life, but it still is a good central place to find out what's going on in the next week or two or future events. So that is a good website if people want to see what's happening in the near future here in New York. Mm-hmm. We've also set up a new resource, which is occupyhomecoming.net.
Okay.
That's how we're disseminating current information based on what we specifically are planning on doing in the near future. So that's the first place information will get updated to as far as new Facebook pages for events we're planning on doing, because like it or not, lots of people are on Facebook. It's a good way to disseminate information, even if the police are probably reading.
Right.
So as far as websites, there are those two. We also have Occupy Wallace T NYC on Twitter, which is the New York City-based Occupy Wall Street Twitter collective. Information will hopefully be passing there, as a couple people on our planning team are also on that resource. So hopefully if we have a live streamer in the park, anyone who's trying to tune in and see what's happening here will be able to see it there. I know of at least one person who's planning on live streaming, so we're going to try and make sure that connection is live for everyone to see. And we've also set up a new resource at Reoccupy, because believe it or not, that wasn't taken.
Really?
We saw that one was available and jumped on it.
Awesome.
So we are also likewise going to use at Reoccupy to mention details as they are relevant. We're going to be posting streamer information there. We can take questions and answers there. Like if you are at a camp and things have gone south and you need people to know it, you know, if you're sleeping at a location with 40 people and the police have come and shooed you out, tell at Reoccupy. The information will travel accordingly.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, I thank you so very much for all of this information. This has been such a help, and hopefully it helps the people out there that are going to be coming in to Reoccupy, and hopefully everything goes great. And I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. Hopefully you can come back again. Maybe we can touch base in a few more days and see what's happening.
We'll see. Hopefully we have an awesome weekend together.
That sounds good. That sounds good. I know some folks are coming down from Boston, and I'll look forward to talking to you and talking to them and hearing all the great news about what's happening. I know that people around the country are excited. Anyway, I thank you very much, Sean, for coming on the show, and solidarity.
Yep. Take care.
Hey, you
Hope
too.
To see you all in the streets on Saturday.
Yes, very much so. All right, thank you very much. And that has been Sean McCune, who is a activist at Occupy Wall Street. And we've been talking about what's going to be happening coming up this weekend over the 3 days. And you are listening to OPR.FM, radio for the 99% by the 99%. Okay, I just turned it off, and...